Get up with Annie and Ando only on Joy.
Annie, have you done your taxes yet?
I have not. I'm looking at the date now. I think, is the end of the month the deadline for doing it yourself?
I think, yeah, I was going to say, I think October, end of October, we're making this up and this, we need to put a little warning that this is not financial advice.
Definitely not.
Definitely not. Yeah, I think if you do it yourself, you end of October, and if you've got a tax agent, it's March.
Yeah. That's it. It's a lot longer than I thought. Even May, in fact. My agent was able to do it for me right before the next tax return was due, and therefore I am still over a year late, I think.
So, hang on, so you haven't done last? Like,
I just kind of did last year's one. Like,
when you say last year's, are you talking the end, June 30th? 2019 or June 30, 2018. Oh, that's 2 years ago.
So, yeah, I completed that one and then suddenly the deadline rolls around again and I'm like, what?
How do you collect your client? Like, do you have a shoebox with receipts?
Not a shoebox, but envelopes, big, like, manila, kind of like that.
Are they coloured manila or are you just calling them that?
I'm just calling them that. Some of them are clear.
Yeah, I use a clear plastic.
Yeah.
And,
Label the dates in them and then sort out all your receipts. But one thing that revolutionised the way I do my taxes is having a separate account for work-related things.
Yes.
So that's, I guess maybe this is advice for people who are sole traders, but anytime, you know, you assess in the moment, is this for my business? And then you tap away or purchase.
Ah, though you still need receipts.
Yeah, you still need receipts, but it makes it so much easier to do that line by line, like.
And you use an accountant now?
Yeah, special arts accountant.
I need a new accountant. My accountant retired. And you know when it's not easy. I don't like doing my taxes, but I could just scan the stuff, send it through, and a couple of days later, I'd have a document to sign, and then it would just happen.
Nice.
It wasn't too hard.
Yeah.
And now I have to start from scratch and explain everything.
Everything's gone electronic now. Like, I've been using a spreadsheet that my accountant's given me, and then now they've scrapped the spreadsheet as well and they just expect you to know the numbers no matter how you calculate it and put it on an online form.
They're making their life automated.
Yes, I don't like it.
They probably got rid
of
their
beautiful
finance assistant that used to do that key punch entry. And
yeah.
That's not nice. I actually put it out there. If you know a great accountant, I'd love a rainbow, a member of the
that's
rainbow
true.
Family
Are there
or a
any
strong ally.
Rainbow. Only focused kind of accountants.
Not that I don't know. I'm guessing there is. I'd love a rainbow accountant and one that also has experience in claims with not-for-profits and volunteering because I've got mixed portfolios. I do. So I want to maximise my tax claims across all my portfolios. So I want someone experienced. 0427-569-949 is the line. If you know a rainbow accountant, I would love to hear from you.
I once had some advice from our friend Jack from, who used to be
Don't come back.
Production manager.
Yeah.
And he said, if you ever get asked what your job is and you don't really want to say what you really do, just say you're a hedge fund manager.
Hedge fund.
Yeah, I don't really know what that is still.
We're talking taxes this morning and
jumping out of bed, I can feel everybody.
I want to weave some fun facts in. Have a guess how much percentage of the population pay 50% of all taxes?
Well, so out of everyone in Australia who pays tax, what type of people pay the most?
Yeah, so there is a percentage of people that pay half of all taxes. And it's only 10%.
Is it a type of person or age group?
10% of the population contribute
50%. Oh, you're telling me a fact.
Yeah.
I thought it was a question.
It was a question and I realised it was going nowhere, so I thought I'd just slide the answer. 10% of the population contribute to 50% of taxes. And of all the income and revenue that our Australian government get, have a guess what proportion of it is related to income tax. Like, ooh. You think fines, bonds, interest, all this other, it's not their only form of income. And then we've got our, like, income tax that we pay as individuals.
What are you talking about, like, goods tax and things as
No, GST is not income tax.
Not income tax. Okay, just hit me.
40%, Annie Louie. 40%.
40%?
Of all revenue, government revenue, is from income tax.
What's the rest?
GST.
All the other things. Okay.
Stamp duty, levies.
So when people complain that they're being taxed too much, it's not that much of what the entire nation requires to run a country,
is it? It's nearly half.
Nearly, but 60%'s majority, so.
Back in the olden days, pre-federation, so pre-1901, you've got each state was running their own tax system. believe it or not. And the biggest revenue...
That's pretty bonkers, yeah.
Yeah, I know. The biggest... Well, it is to us now, but the biggest revenue was actually trade between the states. So taxes...
Taxing each other.
Yeah, it was like doing business with yourself.
More. Yeah.
All right, let's go back in history. In ancient Rome, urine was a valuable commodity. There was a urine tax, Annie Louie.
To do what with it?
Well, the ammonia in it apparently made for whiter-than-white togas. And even teeth brushing.
What a great marketing campaign. Do you want whiter-than-white togas? Here, take my...
Nero and Vespian, Vespasian, or whoever they were, levied the tax on the acquisition of whey.
So it's, was it like organ or sperm donation? Could you rock up and give it and they'd pay for it?
Yeah, well, people were hanging on to it.
Oh, they were hanging
Imagine
on
you
to
got
it.
People coming over and they go, can I use your toot? You'd be out there with your little pan toot
trying
sweet.
To catch it.
All right, this one's Canada, 1885 to 1923. So not that long ago. Long enough, but not, like, it's in the last bit. Canada imposed what was tactfully called, I don't think it was tactful at all, the Chinese head tax. It was on all immigrants from China. It was $50 and then rose to $500 by 1903.
To just be there.
If you were Chinese, yeah, but they'd take other immigrants and not charge them, but if you were Chinese...
That's just...
Isn't that
straight
unfair?
Up racism.
All right, another one for you, modesty tax. We're at the time of the 19th century and we're in Travancore, India. Women of
There's a Travancore here.
Is there?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't. In
Shout out to our, Travancore.
Is that how you say Travancore?
Correct us if we're wrong.
Women of lower caste were required to pay a tax if they wanted to cover their breasts in public. Do I need to repeat that?
Sorry.
Yes. If you want to cover your breasts, you need to pay tax.
When modesty.
A boob tax.
Yeah, modesty charges you. Oh.
The tax was known as Malakaram. And it led, what actually, and this is the strength of women, it led to an extraordinary, it's quite horrific, brace yourself, an extraordinary act of rebellion when a woman named Nanjali refused to comply. So you know what she did? She chopped her breasts off and handed them to the tax collector on a palm leaf. And said, there you go, have my boobs. Unfortunately, it didn't end well for...
But how funny, like, just the fact that, you know, it's the opposite to how we expect things to go. And as long
as... Yeah, you've got to pay to take your top off these days,
like,
not
rebellion
the other way.
Looks different in different times and places.
Really? Yeah, it does. But also the class system going on in that. Is pretty horrific.
Yeah. Did you have any positive news tax stories?
There was a beard tax. In order to westernise the appearance of Russian society, Emperor Peter the Great slapped a tax on what he deemed to be an old-fashioned fashion choice, the beard. Those who opted to retain their facial hair had to pay up to... they were given a token to carry around that had, like, a little picture of a beard on it to proof. Then good old Henry over in the UK in Tudor England time thought that's a good idea. So the amount of beard tax was higher depending on how high your status was.
Not how long your beard was.
No. So if you were an earl, like Earl Lady Annie Louie,
yeah.
And you had your castles and you were growing a beard, and yeah, you would pay
Bizarre.
More.
Bizarre. So the bigger your beard, people will go, oh, he must be rich if he's paying the taxes.
Well, this is what
taxes.
Happened. He was trying to not have so many beards, but it backfired and it became a status symbol.
Mm.
Because like, oh, you must be loaded. What, you've got a beard.
What would they think of all the hipsters around here? Hipster tax.
Bohos.
We need.
Hot bohos out there in the streets.
Whereas usually it's the opposite. It's like, I can't be bothered grooming. I don't have the money to go to a barber.
Well, there is a few ladies out there with beards at the moment with this COVID lockdown.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, remember my mustache? I caved.
Hit snooze and stay in bed with Annie and Ando on Joy.
We've got some great topics on this show. Today is all about tax. And I want to talk to you about the Doberman dog breed and then talk about some other dogs as well. Mm-hmm. But did you know that the Doberman was created because the guy was a tax man who needed a dog to protect him when he went door knocking to collect people's taxes?
The tax collectors.
Yeah, and Louis Doberman is credited.
Was that his surname?
Yes.
Doberman.
Yes, German guy.
Better than Chihuahua. Imagine any Chihuahua. That's going to be your name for the rest
Louis
of the show.
Louis Chihuahua, yeah. He also worked at the local pound, so he had access to all these different types of dog breeds. So they say the Doberman is made up of a German Pinscher.
Yeah.
Great Dane, German Shepherd Dog, Manchester Terrier, English Greyhound, Short-Haired Shepherd.
That's a mixed salad, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Which like
fascinates
a trifle.
Me. Yeah. I don't really understand how they managed to get such a, like, do you have a pure breed? Doberman,
because no,
they all look the same, but they keep mixing the same things over and over, so are they horribly inbred?
Yeah, well, no, it's once you get, you get the mix right, so it takes a while. It's not like you just put it all in a cup, shake it like in your Nutribullet.
Yeah, then, just add water. Dogs
and then, oh, I've got a nice mix. So, it's over years getting those bloodlines right.
Uh-huh.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, I told you, full of facts.
Are they known as aggressive? They're often the guardian.
Yeah, they're known as aggressive in TV shows and things.
Is that what Magnum P.I. had?
Possibly. I remember it as Mr. Burns in The Simpsons had a pack of them and he was like, release the hounds, and all these Dobermans would run out.
Oh,
and they do, yeah. They.
So if you had a Doberman and you're a security agent and your dog was a working dog, is it a tax deduction, Annie Louie?
It would be. Here are the top 10 tax deductible dogs.
Oh, give it
do
to
you
me.
Want to guess what's on it?
Doberman. Greyhound. Greyhounds, actually, there was a rort in Australia a while ago, probably a decade ago, of these hobby greyhound races, like owners of greyhounds that would then claim it as tax, but their dogs would never win. They'd never get prize money. And the tax office said, you know what, that's a hobby.
Neither of those actually make the top 10.
German Shepherd.
Correct.
Alsatian.
No. What's an Alsatian?
It's like a German Shepherd, but they've got a different back end.
Some of these I've never heard of. So Labrador Retriever...
That's like a golden retriever, Labrador.
Yeah, because they're used as service dogs and therapy dogs.
Yes.
You got the German Shepherd. Border Collie, used for herding.
Oh, yeah, the good old collie dog.
Belgian Malinois.
Never heard of it.
Never heard of it, but must be overseas. Police work, search and rescue. Golden Retriever.
Yeah.
Talented for hunting.
What about the Bernese Mountain Dog? Is that on your list?
No, it's not.
Oh,
Great Pyrenees is a sheepdog. Giant Schnauzer.
Region. Giant
Schnauzer. Oh, giant Schnauzer.
Yes,
that sounds horrifying.
I looked at show us your giant Schnauzer.
And what did you find? Was it safe for work?
When we were looking at dog alternatives, because Great Danes die so quickly.
Yeah,
like their lifespan's so short, it's horrible, but we couldn't go past it.
Yeah.
But a giant Schnauzer was one option I looked at.
Do you feel pressured to make your dog's life like superb for its short
Of course.
Period? No wonder
you've
they eat so
how
they, well.
You've seen how they eat and sleep. They've got a bigger bedroom than I do.
Yeah. What about the Samoyed?
A Samoyed.
They pull sleds.
Pull sleds.
Yeah. You could have been doing that for any of these dogs yet. Why
no,
that
in
one?
In my mind then what happened was I was on ice and there was snow and there was they normally bark as they take off because they're so excited.
Yeah.
This is one of the things with working dogs that people, like, they go, oh, that's a bit mean. They often, you see the excitement. Oh,
they want to work.
They want to work.
It's in their DNA. Yeah, the Siberian Husky, the same thing. And
yep.
A bloodhound.
Bloodhound for finding...
Finding things, yeah. Deer and boar.
I'm going to turn one of my dogs into a tax deduction, I've decided, Annie. You've convinced me.
I thought, just get a costume. Can you turn it into a giant schnauzer instead or something?
No, but what I might do is commercialise the truffle, the French oaks in the back paddock with the truffles growing on them.
But that's not your business, you know.
I can turn it into my business when they...
Okay.
I've got to wait like a decade for them to start to grow fungus under
You've
the ground.
You've got an ABN already, right?
Yeah.
So just attached to that.
So I train the dog on truffle training and then her food... I know which one. One's lazy and one's energetic.
What if you started a dog training school instead?
I'd suck at that. Can you imagine how rude I would be to people that weren't nice to their dogs? I'd be in pain. No.
But you've trained your dogs pretty well. Can they do tricks?
I went off tricks with these ones. It's just obedience. With such big dogs, you just want them to stay. So
yeah,
when they come inside, it's not
push
about...
Push people over, yeah.
You know, their tails smash vases and... testicles, like they're just and lady bits. They could change the direction of your bits with the strength of that tail. We had holes in plasterboards where they've wagged their tail from being excited. So just calming them down and being gentle inside is the
And you want to use them for the tax deduction. I think you just want to have some savings in your house.
It's a truffle dog.
Up early? Annie and Ando are up with you too. 6 till 7 a.m. every weekday on Joy.
29 minutes to 7 on your Thursday morning. Annie Louie?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Give Out Day, Friday the 16th of October. Give Out Day is a national day of LGBTIQA+ giving. nothing more than we love giving. Mm. And Joy is really involved this year, where we get the opportunity to have funds matched with the donations made. So if you want to donate to Give Out Day or make a pledge before the 16th of October, head to giveout.org.au/joy.
Do you know what we get for the monies? Like, what are we seeing?
What are we doing impact? With it?
Yeah.
Yes, remote. We are going out or connecting with people in remote rural areas and providing them with education and support to be able to tell and share their stories.
Amazing. That sounds cool, good. That. Yeah, well summarised. And we're working with lots of other partners too to do it. It's a group fundraising effort and we don't want to be the dead weight of the group.
No way, Annie. What dead weight? Dead weight, schmate. But we are talking tax. Speaking of dead weight, taxes.
Taxes. And I want to talk about the sugary drinks tax, which has been...
We don't have it yet, though, do we?
...pleaded as a case. Yes. So at the moment, it's being claimed as one of the leading causes of obesity. Sugar-sweetened beverages, or SSBs, in Australia, and consumption of SSBs is the highest amongst men aged 18 to 24 years. And an SSB tax in Mexico reduced consumption, particularly amongst low socioeconomic households. And I remember seeing a famous photographer's study. He went and photographed people's groceries for a week and in around the world, and the family in Mexico had all soft drink because it's cheaper than water there. And yeah, so they were only drinking soft drink. So that was a problem. So I didn't know this update that they've had a tax and it has helped them. What do you think?
Well, can I respond with a question first? Imagine you're Willy Wonka, Annie Louie. How do you feel?
My chocolate river. No.
My chocolate, yeah. Augustus Gloop, you're gone. Like, I love a... I'm not a big sweet tooth, but other than ice cream, really. And there's taxes on... If you think alcohol, which has a heap amount of sugar in a lot of alcohol, that's taxed, but that's also taxed because it's a drug. I'm okay. I think I'd be okay if it's when it cuts into something that I don't realize. Like if they included fructose, for example, so the sugars, the natural sugars that occur in fruit and vegetables.
It would be fruit juice as well.
What about sweet corn? I love sweet corn.
I don't think that's full high of
sugar.
Enough.
It is. It's full of sugar, but it's the natural occurring sugar. So if I was the,
but it's not in a drink.
No, so it's only drinks. Yes. It's this SDBs or whatever.
Yeah, the B stands for beverages. You're not chugging on a sweet corn.
So if I was the man, okay, so you're not Willy Wonka. Let's go back and say that I'm Big M. It's
yes.
a milk product.
Yeah.
Would that be?
That's the thing, though. Throughout history, every time there's been a tax on a food or drink, people have found loopholes. So let me remind you about the Alco tax. So back in the, 2008 era-ish, they were taxing it. And companies, so it was any kind of spirit that had a lot of sugar in it, Alcopops, would be taxed.
Alcopops.
Yes. So then manufacturers found a loophole to make wine a cheaper alternative, because if it was made from malt or low-grade wine, it was a ready-to-drink drink, but they didn't get taxed.
Was this also when the jellies came out? And so a jelly was a food, not a drink. So that was another way of getting through those.
No, I didn't know
little,
about that. I missed out. Is it too late for me to
jellies?
Go?
Yeah, back in, grab the DeLorean out the front, go back to 2008.
I flying skateboard into the shop and grab me some jellies.
Cock-a-doodle-doo. It's Addie and Ando every morning on Joy.
We're talking taxes this morning, Annie Louie.
Yeehaw.
And dodgy claims.
The ones that don't get through, they get rejected.
The ones that don't get through. Because some people are dishonest in the community and and suddenly realise when they get their first or second tax return and get money back if I had claimed more, I'm going to get more back. And they think it's like, I don't know, an income.
Yeah, that's crazy. Tell me.
All right. So there was this woman who claimed $12,000 worth of dental work.
Was she an actor going for a specific role that required her to have some or no teeth?
She was a receptionist in a law firm.
And
she argued with the tax office saying, it is my job to look, to be the face of the organisation.
Yeah, unless the teeth were uniform or for a role, like uniform being part of your, everybody had to have the same teeth.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
Yeah, this is my tax knowledge coming through.
She got, because if you overclaim and it is the tax office find out, not only do you have to pay it back, they can take your whole tax return and charge you interest.
Oh, wow. Yeah. But you don't get a record for it, do you?
Oh, you mean go to jail?
Or no. Something on a mark on your name.
Oh, every year the algorithms and computer technology of the Australian Tax Office gets better and better. So their ability to auto-spot things. Because if you think about it, if you're paying income tax or you work for an organisation, they're paying payroll tax against your name to the tax office. So the tax office actually knows exactly how much you earned from your company, even though you put your payment summary data. So they know that. The only thing they don't know, the big unknown and the question mark, is deductions.
Yes.
Work-related deductions without receipts.
That would happen a lot, right?
Oh, I lost it.
Yeah.
You can claim up to $300 without receipts.
Oh, that's great.
Work-related. No, you also needs to be legit.
But I always felt really bad every time I lost a receipt. Even now, I'd be like, oh, no, I can't claim that. But thanks. I'll factor that in.
$300.
I do my tax return in 5 years.
No, don't leave it so long. Don't leave it so long.
Who else is being dodgy?
Work-related travel. So people that go to a one-day conference and have 14 days in Hawaii.
Yeah.
That work-related travel is actually, particularly overseas, a pain in the butt to keep your tax records because you need to have a travel diary.
Yes, or when a I was doing diary.
Travel diary.
And you need to work out what percentage of that day was really
work. Not work. And it's like, well, it's not like I'm going to fly back home to Australia. The fact that it was only a two-hour meeting in the morning.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. Yeah. Well, what about splitting a meal and you paid for it?
Entertainment, there is a category called entertainment. This is not financial advice.
This is just me asking you as a friend. If you want financial advice, don't come to a comedian. Look at me, like 5 minutes.
Pull my finger. It's tax return time.
What?
That didn't make any sense.
No, it didn't make any sense. You're not ready to be a dad.
Now, what was your question again?
The question was, what if you've taken someone out for a meal and you've paid for it? But you didn't eat all of the food. It wasn't, you could say it's work-related, but it wasn't all of your meal.
Was it genuinely work-related?
Networking, isn't it?
It is, but if I was the tax man and I was looking through your affairs...
My affairs.
Bring me that shoebox. And I go, start flipping through. And you go, this was a business development meeting with, and I go, who was it with? And let's say you paid for lunch for two people. And you go, it's two councillors from the city of Melbourne. And I was talking to them about the Melbourne International Comedy Festival and trying to be the headline act and have my face all over the town hall. And I go, oh, interesting.
You've been looking into my travel records.
I have. And then suddenly there's no reference income or expenses associated with that event. I'd then go...
Yeah, it needs to have income associated, doesn't it?
Well, your overall income your work is fine. But the point being that they'd want to hear this, be able to track the whole story, and it'd be really real when they go, oh, wow, so she's claiming that as an entertainment lunch or a business development expense. Then you can see where she's actually got the job and she can see the follow-up. And so it's not just made up.
Yeah, it's true. So that's, for example, if I went overseas, like one of my trips last year,
Edinburgh.
I didn't get to America. That was fully a holiday because I didn't get paid a dollar, but I did some gigs, but they were unpaid. So therefore, if I took someone out to a lunch, I couldn't claim it as networking.
I'm not an agent, but I used to go overseas for development, for my development. Like, so I go to conferences and seminars and stuff, and that was a tax deduction.
Seminars. Yeah, but it's part of your actual job.
Yeah, it was part of my
job. And you weren't self-employed. That's the trick. Yeah, self-employed, it's hard.
I am still looking for an accountant, preferably a rainbow one. Text 0427-569-949.
Up early, Annie and Ando are up with you too. 6 till 7 a.m. every weekday on Joy.
10 minutes to 7. Good morning, Dean Murphy.
Good morning, kids. How are you going?
Very well.
Cracking little show this morning.
Oh, taxes.
Have you done your taxes?
No.
No, not yet.
No, I'm usually pretty good with it, though, because I do GST all the time and whatever, so it's kind of up to date.
Because you're self-employed.
Yeah. Which is a good way to do it, because you really, once you've done your GST sort of thing, you just, you add up everything at the end and that's it, done.
Do you do BASs as well?
Yeah.
Business activity statements.
I thought it was a fish.
When you start earning the mega bucks like Dean Murphy.
I should say when I had businesses prior to COVID.
Sorry. I mean, if you're earning enough to get taxed, you could be a great business mentor for me.
I could be. We'll talk about that.
Hey, what's coming up on the show this morning?
Well, it's World Octopus Day today, so we're talking octopus.
Octopi. Yeah.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Did we call your sister an octopus the other day?
Yes. Last night we both watched this movie called, I think it's series on Netflix called My Teacher the Octopus or something like that. Oh. I can't really remember.
Yeah.
But it was great. We're going to dissect that. And also we've got heaps of interviews this morning too. We've got Paralympian and Vision 2 2020 ambassador Jessica Gallagher on the phone with us.
Oh, nice.
Which is great. She's got an amazing story too, because not only did she win multiple summer and winter Paralympic sort of things. She did multiple sports as well.
Events. Was she the first person to do both? To win?
Yes, I think she was.
First person to do both, but then she kept swapping sports and keep winning.
Oh,
one of
legendary.
Those that's just good at what they can do.
Yeah. Oh. Plus, as well, this morning we're going to talk about bogan names. Ando's a bit of a bogan name, isn't it?
Andrew isn't, though. Andrew.
How rude.
Andrew.
Dino.
Dino's a bogan name.
Dino. I don't have
just
one.
Just putting an O
Anna's,
on anything.
Anna's a bogan name. Come on, that's one of the biggest bogan names out.
Have a great show,
thanks,
mate.
Guys.
Thank you.
Up early, Annie and Ando are up with you too. 6 till 7 a.m. every weekday on Joy.
Almost 7 o'clock, 16 degrees with a forecast top of 19 in Melbourne this morning.
It stopped raining.
Oh, you came in really moist this morning.
I took my pants off.
You are. I love it. You just get your gear off wherever. Is that an acting thing? Like, you will get changed.
Dancers, they're the epitome of the comfortable with their bodies. I am not.
But I've seen you get changed. You got changed in front of me a number of times.
That's because we're buds.
Yeah. And none of this whole pull the bra out from your sleeve. Remember that?
Oh, I could still do that. Yeah.
No, you don't need to do that.
Here we go. What do you think of this? Oh, no, the tax man's come.
It's bra tax. That's that boob tax I was talking about.
Yeah, although it was the opposite because you had to pay tax if you wanted to cover up. Crazy.
Yeah, it just fries my little brain. Hey, we've got a great show coming up tomorrow. What are we doing?
We are going to be talking costumes. I love a costume.
Is there a line between a fetish and a costume?
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say I engage in much fetish, but I definitely love a costume, would like to have a costume dedicated closet one day.
Make sure you tune in, follow us on Instagram, Annie and Ando, and stick around for the Murphys.
Oh. Not a morning person. Catch the Annie and Ando podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.